The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From the murder RV at San Diego, nerds!
Hey, we're recording.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome
to episode 124 of Thinking Outside the Long Box, pop culture classic episode, Revenge of the Nerds.
Gabe is struggling with words today.
I know. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
How are you guys doing today?
Tired.
Yeah, me too. And we drank a beer at like 10 in the morning.
I'm not there yet.
Oh, I drank the whole thing already and plan on getting a second one. The third episode of this, when we talk about Marvel Phase 4, should be fascinating.
So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Right? So, of course, our pop culture classic that we announced a couple weeks ago will be Revenge of the Nerds. Revenge of the Nerds. 1984, directed by, I just had it up, and the Wi-Fi in here is terrible. One moment. Directed by Jeff Canoe. Don't know other things that he's made. Starring Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards, Timothy Busfield, Curtis Armstrong, Larry B. Scott, Brian Tochi, Julia Montgomery. The list goes on.
And on. You should go check out our YouTube video, though, about it from Colorado Springs Comic Con.
For sure. You should.
There was a panel there.
I had forgotten that the coach in this was John Goodman, so when I saw him, I was like, it's that guy from that one movie. You know what I'm talking
from
about.
From that one show.
And Juan was like, John Goodman? I was like, yeah, that's the one. So this movie has a very special place in many of our hearts, and I felt like when I saw it on the Hulu here in the murder RV, I was like, oh, this is a really good choice for a pop culture classic, right, at San Diego Comic-Con. Because is there any more perfect tale of nerds coming into their own than Revenge of the Nerds or San Diego Comic-Con? Because San Diego Comic-Con is all about that. Like 50 years ago, it started out as this like tiny regional comic book convention that was literally just comic books, full of like the nerdiest of nerds, like the people that were downtrodden, suppressed.
Right.
That's the word you were looking for earlier.
Suppressed, not repressed or oppressed. Yeah.
And having this group of people say, we love comic books, we don't give a shit what you think, and we're going to get together and have a convention. And 50 years later, this is like by far one of the largest pop culture meccas known to man. Like
130 to 140,000 people come here.
Which is insane.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
And you get to see literally every form of fandom, from toys to video games to anime to music to comic books, like all of it. Like there is just a million different things going on. And to see Revenge of the Nerds, which obviously is like a hilarious movie, even though some of the stereotyping in it would be considered problematic in today's day and age, it's still super, super funny. And the overall message is, you know what? Those people don't deserve to treat us like assholes, even if we are just a little bit different. And they don't. And you know what? I got a gang of 140,000 people to back me up on that shit. So there you go. What do you think? What do you think of this movie?
I love the movie. I mean, it's been a while since I sat through the whole movie at one time. I didn't remember that there were so many boobs in the movie.
That's all I remembered about this movie.
It might just be because I've watched it on TV probably the most.
Good chance.
And so I didn't remember all the boobs. It's just funny watching back and just looking at what the fuck has changed since then. Like the cameras that they put into the girl's house are fucking just giant. They're so big. There's just the dress. Obviously, everybody dresses differently. Just the weird little things that are different from when this all came out.
Oh, like the stereotyping too.
Yes.
Like while
a lot of racism in
while
this
it can
movie.
Be like incredibly racist, is such a weird throwback to how people thought in the 80s. Like the Asian guy is super, super smart, but talks funny. You know, the gay
guy, I think I have a thrush.
The gay guy has like no one by like the end of the movie. And that, like, it's weird because that's really depressing. You know what I'm saying? But nowadays, if they remade this movie, there obviously would be a Omega Mu for him. You know what I'm saying?
right.
You know, there's so much about this movie that's different because when it was made, but it's a really, really great. I mean, it's a really, really great movie
right.
in the long run. Like, the story that it's telling is literally own who you are, and that's okay. That's good enough. Like, you don't need to be different or prove yourself to be anything other than who you are. And that's really cool. I love that about it.
I love that while they are different, they weren't afraid to go do shit in real life. Like, a lot of the times, nerds or geeks or whatever you want to call us are portrayed to be people who can't even go out into the world. And so I love that that wasn't really the case here. That maybe while they were scared of these big giant jocks, that they weren't afraid to go and get their revenge, or they weren't afraid to go and ask the hot lady from the sorority out or whatever. They were still mingling. They were just shunned. You know, they weren't scaredy, you know, people who didn't want to enjoy people or the world. They were trying to. They just wouldn't. Nobody would let them. And I like that about that, because not all nerds or geeks or whatever are, like, afraid to go out into the world.
Right.
Generally, the world pushes back on you.
You know, the one thing I thought was interesting is there's the moment when the Alpha Betas release the pigs into their party. And, like, the president of the Trilams is there. And he steps out, and it's crazy because we were just talking about Bruce Campbell and his ability to make faces that convey, like, an emotion and a thought. And the president of the Trilams is watching as the Alpha Betas effectively are harassing, like, the nerds through the pigs and singing, you know, Old MacDonald to
right.
and stuff. And you can see in that moment, with no dialogue, just his face saying, I recognize discrimination against somebody because I've been discriminated
right.
against. And that is, like, a really powerful message to put forth with no dialogue in a fucking ridiculous comedy film from the 80s. And it's really an interesting moment, because there is this subtext that while they may have ham-fisted their way through some of the stereotypes, the movie is literally just saying discrimination is discrimination,
right?
Whether it be against black people, whether it be against Asian people, whether it be against gay people, like, it is saying, if you're discriminating against somebody based on something so superficial, you're just a fucking piece of shit. And that's really, really cool. Like, I absolutely loved that. So it's interesting. It's interesting that they put this subtext into a movie. They may not even know that it's there.
I'm sure they know.
I may just be processing that way, but it's really a cool thing to me.
It's weird looking back that you didn't, or that I don't remember getting that kind of dialogue from the press conference. I think more people were asking just about how the actors were and what the, you know, how they belched and all that.
And how
kind
the
of
whole
stuff.
Set was party,
right,
party.
Right. And so nobody kind of dove deeper into the aspect of what the movie was about. And so rewatching the movie, it was a whole different experience from what I remember that conversation being about. So I agree with you. I thought it was cool, and I think there's definitely a message there. Even jocks and you know, popular people are ostracized by people like us sometimes, and that's shitty. You know, you should not be doing the thing that you're claiming that the world is doing to you. You know, just fucking love everybody. Just everybody have fun. Everybody go do what you're gonna do. You know, airheads or jocks or whatever you want to call them are no different than you. They just like something else. That's really what it boils down to.
No way.
You know?
What they like? Stupid.
I really hate the term sports ball. I hate it, because you're essentially making fun of somebody and then turning around and whining that somebody's making fun of you. You know what I mean? I don't like it. I just don't like the fact that, you know, because they're popular or they're not or whatever, it's okay for you to make fun of them. But when it comes back on you, it's not okay. I hate that shit. It
right.
really bothers me.
You know, I mean, I think that's the overall takeaway from it, is everybody deserves to just have fun the way
right.
they have fun. As long as you're not out there hurting somebody else in your efforts to have fun, you're good. Like, if you want to play football, if you want to play basketball, baseball, whatever, obviously I'm not interested in that, but I also try not to like worry about it too much anymore because I don't care. And when somebody asks me about it, I say, you know, I just don't follow it.
Right.
It's not my thing. Like, I'm too busy following whatever, comic books,
right,
last issue of Walking Dead. You know, I'm too busy having conversations with my friends about that kind of stuff. And I filled my brain with worthless knowledge about pop culture,
right,
as opposed to worthless knowledge about baseball.
Right.
You know, I used to have a lot of that, but just don't anymore.
Right.
Because it's not that interesting to me anymore. Such a great movie. So let's talk a little bit about some of the trivia in this film. All right. Here's some of the lines that were ad-libbed.
Everything?
No.
Because it was made with $10.
It was made with about $10. when the coach says, shit, we forgot to practice, that's ad-libbed. when Gable says, do you know karate? Right before he puts the jockstrap.
No.
No? Good. the dean saying he has allergies. Poindexter's painful scream during the pie-watching scene. Poindexter's date grabbing his crotch during the party was ad-lib. That must have been a fun surprise. And Lewis,
she's all, do you want to fuck or not?
And then
yeah.
Lewis, when he says, we love you when you're mad, that was scripted.
Unscripted,
sorry. Robert Carradine says that when he read the script, Lewis's laugh was described as a goose honk. He was not sure how to do it. However, by chance, the first scenes shot were with his father dropping Lewis and Gilbert off at college. When James Cromwell did the laugh, Carradine just mimicked it. So that's where you get that.
That's cool. It was awful.
Yeah, it's so funny. Larry B. Scott showed up for his audition in character as Lamar with glitter in his hair.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
According to him, the casting directors couldn't stop laughing.
He told that story in the press conference.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
So was that last?
Yes.
Colorado Springs?
Yeah,
2018. So last Colorado Springs, we had the opportunity to watch a press conference that had most of the cast, like, from the film in it. It was big. It was like, I want to say like 9 of the
characters.
That was
when the incident happened with Eric.
Oh, that's right.
You have it. You captured it in yes, photo.
It was amazing. Eric, sorry we brought it up again, but it was unbelievably funny.
And so, sorry I didn't give you the shit. We have no internet here. I'm sorry, yeah. Buddy.
So that panel was like really insightful as to like the creation of the movie and like
fun.
How much fun they were having on set. And like that translates like into the film, like just watching the film, you can see how much fun those guys are having. Like it's good times. It's a good movie. He said,
again, I didn't realize there was so much fucking sex and boobs in this movie. I fucking completely forgot about it. Every chance they got, these fucking nerds were having sex with everybody.
Sorry. I love the scene where he like finally hooks up with like the cheerleader chick, and like he's like he comes up and she's like, oh, you're the nerd, never mind, don't stop, doesn't matter. Like being good at sex transcends all things. Like, and I thought that was really, really funny. that moment. Let's see, what else do we have in here? So one of the trivia points does say, although many of the actors had reservations about appearing in a movie called Revenge of the Nerds, they had a terrific time filming it. The actors described the filming as a fraternity atmosphere and frequently partied at the University of Arizona with the University of Arizona students, many of whom appear in the film as extras. Although Booger is arguably Curtis Armstrong's most famous character, he initially did not want the role. According to his comments on the Panty Raid DVD edition, he originally read for the role of Gilbert, but was later asked to read for Booger. He recalls telling fellow actor Bronson Pinochet that if he was offered the role of Booger, they could just fucking forget it. I'm not picking my nose on camera for anyone. And what's amazing is that Curtis Armstrong is like a classically trained actor. Like, I remember in the thing he was talking about how he's done like Shakespeare and all this other stuff. And then in the 80s went on to do like Revenge of the Nerds and Risky Business and like Better Off Dead and stuff, and was constantly being typecast as like the weird friend. Like, I also love
but
that.
But now that's what he is. Like, he, like, I watched the, shit, I can't even remember what it's called. It's the competition show that they had for two or three seasons, him and Robert Carradine, where they would group a bunch of nerds, like really smart people in whatever fields they are, and they would King of the Nerds, that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And they would get a trophy and shit. And he comes off, like, he plays that, and I don't know if it's just because he's playing the character, but he comes off as the weird, like, dude. Like, Robert Carradine plays the kind of straight, you know, nerdy guy, but Curtis Armstrong is definitely seems like there's something a little off about him.
It's funny because, like, why wouldn't you? Like, with as popular as the movie series has been, as much like inspiration as it has given to people over the years, like, why wouldn't you want to own it?
And right.
Like, the reality is if you're a theater guy that has done Shakespeare, you're a fucking nerd. Like, like, that's a lot of memorization and a lot of thou wilt.
Yeah,
and
a lot
such.
Of weird talking.
Like, you can't pretend like being a theater geek and being a nerd are vastly different things.
I'm telling you, everybody's a nerd. It's just a different what way. You like. Yeah.
Fantasy football is just Dungeons and Dragons for jocks.
Oh, I love fantasy football. Well, I don't know if I love Dungeons and Dragons because fucking bitches
here
don't fucking
go.
Invite
here
people to play.
Go. You know, so what have you seen the sequel to this at all?
I'm sure I have. I don't remember it.
I don't
though.
Think I've ever seen
I don't
the
remember
sequel
it.
To this. Like, I genuinely don't think I've seen the second one.
Huh.
Like, the more
what
I
is it? Revenge of the Nerds?
I think it's just called Revenge of the Nerds 2. I'm sure it has a.
Is that? Are they at a beach or some kind of like water area?
I don't know.
I think I remember that about the movie.
Is there some water is nearby? You know, the
like
stuff
a lake,
that covers
maybe?
Most of the world. I'm gonna look.
Not according to the aliens and signs.
Oh, yeah. Mistakes were made. Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
I think it yeah, is. I think it is like a beachy movie.
The rising college nerds set out to a convention in Florida, but are not welcomed by the Alpha Beta representatives.
Because that's when not Booger. What's his name? Ogre. That's when Ogre, like, sides with them. He, like,
yeah,
becomes
a nerd.
Yeah.
There's also a Revenge of the Nerds 3, The Next Generation, which is a television movie.
Yeah, I don't think they liked all that much because the lead female got switched.
Yeah. And then Revenge of the Nerds 4, Nerds in Love.
That's a lot of nerds.
It's funny, like, so on IMDb, Revenge of the Nerds has a, oh, where'd it go? Oh, the Wi-Fi here sucks. Dude, just let me scroll up. It has a 6.6 rating. Revenge of the Nerds 2 has a 5-point rating. And then, like, Revenge of the Nerds 3 and 4 are both at a cool 3.9. So, like, you can see the diminishing returns of the sequels.
Well, I think a lot of those are like straight to DVD,
yeah,
or straight to VHS.
Two of them are TV movies, is
right.
How they're listed. So they probably weren't even
probably not advertised
DVD
well
or VHS.
Either. Yeah.
They were probably just on TV for a long time. So John Goodman, he can make any role awesome.
Yes,
like
he's
even
funny.
A bit role as a coach is pretty hilarious.
I feel like that's all he does now is bit roles. Like his fucking
is he effectively
Roseanne?
A character
Roseanne is probably his like most long standing thing,
right?
As a main character, but like damn near everything else I see him in, I don't think he's the main attraction to a lot of things. Anymore. Because obviously he did. No, I don't.
Big Lebowski. He's like a main character. Cloverfield Lane. He's a main character.
So that's two in the last
like
10 years.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to think of stuff that he was a.
You can't look it up, bro. It's going to be too slow.
Bet I can. I'm just going to click on it. Googling live on air. Oh, that one randomly came up right away. Let's see. He's been in a few TV series lately.
Yeah, but
yeah,
not him. Really. He's not the lead in those.
No, not at all, aside from
Roseanne. And I don't even know if he's the lead in Roseanne anymore. I haven't watched the reboot.
Because
I thought it had more to do with what's her name from The View. Fuck, I can't remember her name.
Sweet.
Dana is her name, I think, in the show.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have watched very little Roseanne, and I definitely haven't watched.
I just don't like Roseanne
the new stuff because I found it fairly interesting and funny the older episodes, but just reboots of stuff from the 80s typically. I mean, like Revenge of the Nerds 3 and 4, like it just usually falls pretty flat for me.
So. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Roseanne at all. Anyways, the show,
the original show I found kind of funny. Not at the time, though. Like, I never watched it when it was coming out. My wife had me watch it for a while, and I was like, oh, this is pretty funny.
Big ratings, the reboot.
Yeah.
The reboot had some really good reviews.
Oh, I don't doubt it for a second.
She went on her tirade and fucked everything up.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's what happens. Drink too much, take too many pills, you say crazy shit.
Yeah, it was the pills.
I mean, also, being crazy, you say crazy shit.
I give it a thumbs up for sure. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was really funny. It's fun watching these comedies that are so old that I haven't watched them in so long, and then being like, holy shit, I laughed my way through most of that whole movie.
Yeah.
So it was fun. I give it a thumbs up for sure.
I for sure also am giving this guy a thumbs up. We sat here in our murder RV and I laughed like the entire time. I wasn't afraid of being murdered for a little while. It's a lot of fun. It was a really, really good movie. It cracks me up. Like, sure, there's some stuff in here that people might find offensive or like problematic. But I think in the long run, the way that the whole thing is played off is to say, like, these might be stereotypes. You might stereotype these kind of people, but they all deserve to have a voice and they all deserve to go out and have fun.
Right.
Just like everybody else. Right. So
I agree.
It's a good message. Good movie. If you haven't checked out Revenge of the Nerds, be sure to check it out.
Go fuck yourself.
Or go just fuck
kidding.
Yourself. Either
I'm just
way.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Let us know what you think of the movie. We'd love to hear from you in the comments. You can visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. I think that's right. I don't know. It's been a while since I've read those.
No, you're right. Facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox.
And of course, find out more about the show or subscribe to episodes by going to www.totlb.com. Look out for all of our coverage from San Diego Comic-Con on YouTube at tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. Please subscribe, hit the little bell to get the notifications. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to see what you think, and be sure to let us know, you know, if there's something you are excited about, a pop culture classic you might be interested in when it's our pick. Of course, we have Doyle and Jason coming up here in a little bit with their picks. Next episode, we're going to be talking about Marvel Phase 4. There were tons of gigantic announcements from San Diego Comic-Con, which, of course, by the time you hear this episode, you will have heard about most of them, but you haven't heard our opinions yet.
Maybe this will come out first. Oh, no, you numbered them in
the
intro.
Yeah, I numbered them. Sorry.
Oh, fuck.
So, see you guys in a little bit with Marvel Phase 4. I don't know why I said it like that either.
All right. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.